You're listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients while having a great work-life balance. Today we talk about exactly this work-life balance and leading and reaching, because we talk about keeping people, keeping your statisticians, your programmers, your data scientists in your team, especially from a supervisor perspective. But if you're not a supervisor, you will learn quite a lot as well. So stay tuned for this discussion with Benjamin. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Head over to the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of the Effective Statistician. Today it's again Benjamin and myself. Hi Benjamin, how are you doing?
Good, very good. Thanks Alex, how are you?
Very good. By the way, congratulations to your new role.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. It's been just recently been announced that I'm promoted to the global head of biometrics, or biostatistics actually is in our saying in Cytel. So I'm really glad to have the opportunity, and let's see, a lot of challenges on the way.
Yeah. Very good. And in such a position, of course, there is one topic really, really important, and that is to retain the statisticians, the programmers, the data scientists that you already have in your team. Lots of people, of course, talk about, oh, when we hire new statisticians, it's so difficult to find the right ones and so on. Yeah. You can, of course, reduce a problem greatly by retaining those that you have. Then you don't get into the problem so much of open position. Of course, if you grow, then you still get open positions, and that's probably a nice problem to have. However, retaining statisticians is really, you know, a topic. Yeah. What kind of numbers have you heard, you know, across the industry? What kind of turnover rates in different areas of the industry? How much do they vary?
Well, there's a big range. It's difficult to say, but it could be, you know, something between 10 and 30% usually, where you have a turnover rate. And it, in at least in my experience over the last 20 years, it highly depends on the economic situation. Mm-hmm. So, which, you know, there's sometimes not much that, you know, impact that you individually have. You know, if there are a lot of open positions, there's a lot of need, demand, and also then, you know, changing jobs is often a very easy way of getting an extra salary, you know, negotiated, that is in some, you know, living situations for individuals, just the criteria for some, you know, for some. Yeah. You know, you're building a house if you just have something. So there's a lot of, you know, external demand or external impact on these numbers. But I would say in general, it's maybe 10-15% turnover rate on average.
And of course, it also depends on the countries. Yeah, I think there's huge variation in terms of laws, of course, in the different countries, in terms of the speed at which you kind of leave a company. So in the US, well, very often these are, you can count in days, and in Europe, very often you can count in months. And so there's definitely a lot of variation. So we'll not speak about kind of exact numbers today. We want to talk more about what you as a supervisor or as a supervisor of supervisors, as an organizational leader, what you can do to retain your people. And before we dive into that, two things. First, it is not about retaining people at any cost. Yeah? So sometimes you just notice that a certain person would be better suited for something outside of your team. That can have many different reasons. Maybe just this person doesn't fit with the team. Maybe the person's skill set doesn't fit with the team. Or maybe they have just developed so much that you as a supervisor can't offer them anything, you know, that now fits their grown skill sets, their grown experience in your team anymore. Yeah. And so it's not about retaining people at any cost. So that's one thing at the beginning.
Yeah, I can give more examples because this is, it is especially in a CRO, it's about, you know, there are limitations in terms of how much you can pay. I mean, there's a range, right? So we cannot compete with big pharma, let's say, in some ways, and also with the packages around. And that is kind of some like the packages or the benefits, let's say, is something that people are looking for as well. It could be health insurances, could be car rates, could be, I don't know, you know, whatever it is. And so there's always, you know, we have had many discussions at the end and just realizing it's by no means possible to compete with some specifics that they, you know, the individual is looking for.
And yeah. And of course, it's highly dependent also on personal situations. Yeah. If you're young, you don't have a family, maybe you don't even have a spouse, have a partner, and you're super flexible, you can work wherever you are in the world. Yeah. You are also really, really attractive to lots of people around the world. Yeah. And you may kind of work in 2 months, yeah, in San Diego, you know, at the beach with very, very high salaries there. Also pretty high cost of living, I guess. And, you know, then you want to maybe move to Boston and, you know, have completely different salary, or then to Shanghai or Tokyo or wherever. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's why it's like all about individual decisions and also individual, like the for the managers or supervisors actually to see this as an individual. I mean, that is one of the key, I think, that is brings us already to the point of where I believe retaining people actually starts. Is it's a fundamental one, which actually we shouldn't be discussing this anymore, is that the individuals are actually individuals and not FTEs.
Yeah.
Right. So the that is something that I learned in many ways, that there could be groups, there could be people, there could be departments that are treating, I mean, counting FTEs is fine in one way. I mean, we need to do that, but treating them as a number is just not the right way.
Yeah,
it is true for working. I mean, obviously, if you have individual contact, then it's not happening. But also as a company in general, it is a danger to not see the individuals as individuals. And that actually is already the mindset which we need to think through, because if you don't have that, if the company doesn't have that, is we are talking, you know, against walls at the moment.
So. Yeah. And I've seen that where managers kind of move people around just because, oh, there's more demand there. So, okay, let's take just 5 people from this group and move it over there, yeah, to meet the demand. And half a year later, oh, the demand has shifted. Okay, so let's pick 6 from the other group and move them over here, yeah? And just because you see, you know, you have your Excel spreadsheet in terms of, okay, where's the demand, where's the people, and you kind of, you know, just move people around like FTEs, like numbers in an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, and the second thought that came, you know, when we brought up this topic is like, it's also very like a very general one, like a general statement is, if you're always trying to give your company like a reputation in whatever way it is. So it could be like the, you know, the experts in that, could be, you know, the quickest, the fastest, the cheapest, whatever it is, the best in class and so on. The reputation is one thing, but are you actually living it in the company?
I am.
So if you're trying to convince people to come because you are the best statistician, you have the best statistician, the best stats methodology, experts whatsoever, you may have them, but actually, is this a benefit to the people that are joining the company? So are they exposed to that knowledge, to that type of behavior that you show yourself for the outside, for the clients, for the, you know, for the patients, for whatever it is? I think, and that is the crucial part, because if you attract people to join the company and they realize, oh, it's all a fake, because it's, you know, it's a nice website, but actually that's it, then you can fight for retaining people as much as you want. It's not why they came to your company.
Yeah.
So I think this is another just general note, which I realized is marketing is great, but do you actually live this in the company? So is it the culture of the company?
Yeah.
And if there's a discrepancy, you have a bigger problem than others.
Yeah. If you break the promises that you made when you hired people, then people get frustrated and leave. Or, which is, I'm not sure what is actually better, they stay and are really demotivated. They kind of quit mentally, not physically. And that's also really bad. Yeah, so that's another way how you can lose people without actually, you know, having an open position. Yeah. So when we think about this aspect of the promises you made, so one thing is money, and we talked about this, so let's take off the table. What are other promises that we make to people and reasons why they then join the companies?
Well, first of all, the day-to-day work should be interesting to them. So they should be fit. They should be aware of what we are expecting from them to do. So that is not really like a promise in that regard, but I think it's covering usually 80 to 90% of the day. So that they need to follow, I mean, you know, stats lead role, whatever the job is that the person is joining the company for. So I tell, you know, my call usually, you know, when I have an interview with people, I often do have first interview myself, like in an informal way. Sometimes even, you know, before, just don't listen to me, but now, before talent acquisition is aware of it, right? So when there's somebody interested in joining, I just check it out by openly saying, that is what we are looking for, and trying to find out, is it actually what you are looking for?
Yeah.
Right? It is, so there's usually job description out, and there's like a role explained with standard statement of what exactly it is. And to be honest, in the business that I'm in, within, you know, PBS, so unit based outsourcing, it's also very difficult to make this so specialized that we can identify unique experts on our need of unique experts that we could employ for full time for that.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some exemptions, but usually it is it's a wide variety of types of studies, of type of therapeutic areas, of roles, interaction, even groups, clients. It's not an FSP role, you know. It's kind of, so it's a high variety, and it's difficult to put this into like an expert role where you say, well, you need to, you kind of, well, this is what we are looking for, an expert in that, and just give you all expert roles in oncology also.
Yeah, you will only do biomarker research in oncology, whatsoever.
So,
yeah.
That is, I mean, it's always excellent if we get specific experts in fields that help us grow. And that is exactly the point. Help us grow, right? So where we are promising our staff things and say, well, but you can develop into something, or you can, go to training, to conferences, and deep dive further into specific topics that you are interested in. And I think that is a promise that we often do. I hope everyone is doing, because if especially I know around statisticians that the majority of statisticians is very much interested in learning more and more and more. And so we need to not only promise that and then get the people hired, but actually deliver. And that is the responsibility of the manager of the teams, is to give them the opportunity to follow up on that, to allow them to grow, to develop, and to actually give them also spare time, and which is difficult, but give them really an allowance, a possibility of attending trainings, of attending conferences, of doing trainings, maybe being an expert in something and delivering it to internally, and really just make them seen, welcomed, seen, and developed as experts, or even like in that role. And doesn't need to be like an explicit expert, but just really like a delivery of the promises that you make.
When I think about retaining people, highly motivated people, that come into the job, and usually, the first day you come into a job, you're always motivated. And you're motivated usually by three things: mastery, autonomy, and purpose. And what you just talked about is really this mastery aspect. We want to become better as statisticians, data scientists, programmers. Don't want to write the same code that we did 10 years ago. We don't want to do exactly the same models that we did 10 years ago. We want to improve in terms of how we design studies. We don't usually just want to rerun the same studies that we have done again and again and again and again. There needs to be some learning. And that learning is, as you said earlier, is highly variable across the different people. Some people really want to learn more about the medical and therapeutic area background. I've seen statisticians that say they just want to work in oncology. That is the area that is most interesting of me, and I want to learn about all these different methods of action and the various biomarkers and the new things that we can do there. And I'm also, motivated because it is oncology, and maybe there's some personal relationship to it. That maybe she or he is a patient himself, herself, or family members had cancer. So that is really important to understand. For others, it's about, I want to really hone in on my technical skills. Like I want to learn more about data science or whatever. And yet for others, and that is also a possibility, maybe they want to become more people leaders. In terms of, they want to grow their people skills. They want to develop potentially into supervisors. Understanding that is really, really important. And then making sure that you give them as much as possible the right projects. And it doesn't mean that all the projects that they work on fit exactly that. I've one member of my team where just one of the many projects he was working on was, that highly motivational project, but that was enough, for him to come to work and feel like this is not work, this is fun.
I think that is something where the managers or the line managers, you know, I'm a little bit always like with the supervision is it could be also non-line managers in a way, because that's why I'm now putting this onto the line manager's role and to the line manager's shoes. And then the line managers have an enormous responsibility here. And this is a little bit of, you know, like a side story is about the role of the line manager. So, and especially if you have a split role as a line manager, like in a, you know, you have your projects and your supervision on people, but you're also line managing them. So that is the responsibilities for the line managers is extremely underestimated. And what you just said about talking to individuals, finding out what do they want, what's maybe their family or it's their background, is there motivation behind it, how do I put it down in a note saying, well, phase two oncology, and just keep it in mind next time there's new phase two oncology coming, and look into this and just say, and even if you don't assign this to that person, right, because it's not available, you say, well, we just had one, but actually, you know, you're not available, but I'm thinking of you, right? So I don't forget you. It's just really just keep it motivated.
Yeah.
And the fear is always a little bit so that you have so many competing tasks being a line manager.
Yeah.
And taking care about the individuals is taking long a lot of time. It's a lot of organizational work around it. It's a lot of like overview and also connection within the company to understand is the every person role and position currently the right place,
right? Yeah.
Or is it maybe, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier about saying maybe it's not, maybe the skill set here isn't the one, but maybe it should be an FSP or should be more in a consulting role than in a process oriented role, or
yeah.
Is it so where do we is does do I give or do I allow the patient or do I enable the individual enough to actually develop as good as we could possibly offer?
Yeah, and I think this is a big part of your job. And it's a really important part. Yeah. If you put the right people into the right positions, yeah, that is half the job of you as a supervisor. Mm. Yeah. It will make everything else easier.
Absolutely. Especially your own life.
Yeah. So I remember lots of discussions when I was working in an international department. Yeah, we had a couple of different group leaders and we had a more senior manager, and the group leaders and the senior manager would sit together maybe twice a year, yeah, to see whether all the right people or all the people in the right positions. Yeah. And then it was also, of course, a discussion, okay, which therapeutic area needs more help, where's less help needed, yeah? But it was mainly about the individual people. Okay, who do we need in which team, yeah? Who is best suited in which team? And also, is the team set up overall then good, yeah? It's probably not a good idea to put all junior people in one team and all senior people in another team or things like that. Yeah. Where do you know, if you have lack of resources, where do you open a new position? Yeah. Does it make sense to move someone around and, you know, because then and open a position maybe in an area where you actually don't have a need? But it would be better to move a person out of this area into this other area where there is a need and open the position in the other area. Yeah. So have these kind of open discussions about where is the right person. Yeah. And here it's, of course, there needs to be a lot of good teamwork on this leadership team. Yeah. That you're willing to say, actually my person, although he's a star performer, I think would be better in your team. If you can achieve that, then people will recognize that. Yeah. And maybe 2 years later, they come back to into your team. Or maybe you have moved on into a bigger role and now they become a supervisor and report to you.
Yeah. I mean, it is, you know, as a line manager, it's all about the, you know, not you, it's all about the others, right? So the people in your team, because that is your responsibility, right? That is how you identify or how you classify yourself as a good line manager, is if the team is happy, if the people are happy. Yeah. And not in that team, in that role, right? So necessarily, I mean, ideally, yes, but not necessarily, but as individual contributors, as people to, you know, that report into you, are they happy? And mm-hmm. If they're happier, if they're not reporting into you, then yeah. Right, give them the opportunity. But I, you know, go ahead.
Yeah. There's one thing that I want to talk about, and you mentioned FSP earlier. Yeah. Now I have been on the sponsor side. Yeah. And I had people in my team, which were, you know, not within my company, yeah, but coming from a CRO. I think as a group leader there, you should have a big interest to make sure that you retain these people as well.
I agree. I think in FSP, we have exactly the same problems, but the responsibility is more now moved into the farm, into the client side,
mm-hmm.
because that is where the supervision and the contribution of these individuals actually take place. And I would say, I mean, my limited experience in FSP, but I would say that it is, well, in some parts it's a split role. I mean, about promotions and salary, it's then on the, you know, the employer side, but in the personal development of that person, that is really something where the eye or the focus should be on the farmer side, because they are integrating these people into their groups, into their teams, into their projects, everything. And, you know, if they plan with them, if they keep want to track them, because they're just, if they're not happy there, then they will leave. And so I would say it's more or less the same problem, a little bit split responsibility, but the primary responsibility I would see in the on the client side.
Yeah, the topic is just that most of the, for example, we talked about learning. Yeah, most of the learning happens on the job. Yeah, so of course it's also nice to go to a conference, but how often do you realistically go to a conference? Yeah, 80-90% of your training will be on the job. Yeah, and so you need to make sure that people have the opportunity to develop on that job. Yeah, if you always give them the same tasks and, as you mentioned earlier, treat them like FTEs rather than individuals, you run the risk that they leave. And then, yes, then you will get a new person from the CRO. And great, then you need to train them again. Yeah, bring them up to speed in your area. Work with, you know, all the team dynamics and all these kind of different things. Yeah. If you now complain that your CRO can't retain the people, well, there's only so much the line manager and the CRO can do. There's also, yes, I see that completely the same responsibility of on the client side. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think usually my understanding is that it is the knowledge or the awareness is there, right? So that is, I think no company is trying to just, you know, treat FSP people like FTEs, right? Even though in some ways they're...
Well, I heard people say, like, let's say treat people on the contractors very, very different. Yeah, well, it is, if you're a supervisor and you listen to this, yeah, and you think about how you're treating people in your team, and do you treat people very, very differently that are in your company and that are coming into your team from another company, from a CRO or as a consultant? Have a second thought about this. Yeah. Of course, there's different opportunities for internal people that are not available to the consultants, like lots of internal trainings, personal development, and things like that. That needs to come from the CRO side. But when it's about motivation that comes from the job, that is clearly something that the CRO supervisor can't provide. Yeah. And it is very, very fundamental for the individuals.
Yeah, and one last thought about retaining, at least from my side, is that retaining actually starts with the individuals. We talked now about line managers and the responsibility of the company, et cetera, so which is obviously, like, you know, then they need to action. However, like coming back to the goal setting and stuff, it's, I mean, if you don't open up, if we, you know, if there's no interest from the individual side to actually either develop or just, you know, dive into the different topics to understand where there's room for developing, or where there's a need for developing, or there's an own interest for developing, we can offer whatever we want. It's not going to happen. It's not going to successfully, you know, retain you for long term, and especially not with, as a high motivated person. So this is always, you know, before and alongside, we need the support of the individuals.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, as an individual, you need to be clear about what you want. Yeah, you need to understand what drives you, what motivates you, what skills do you want to develop. Yeah, that is really, really important. We talk about that a lot on the show. Yeah, you need to understand your own goals, your own values, your own strengths and limitations, and what you want to work on. Yeah, your supervisor probably can help you learn about these, but ultimately it's your career. So make sure you enjoy it. That's really important. There's one other thing that I want to shortly talk about, and that is recognition. What's your view on that part as being a factor for retaining people?
I think it usually comes too short. And not necessarily like recognition in promotion or you know, merit increases or increase in general. So that is probably even the easiest way of showing it. No, it is the day-to-day thank you. Right. So the day-to-day understanding what great job, you know, that person is doing. And I have to, you know, it's myself. So it's just, you know, you're under stress, you're busy, you're everything. And then time's running out. And then at the end of the meeting, oh, thank you, by the way. No, it's very difficult. But it's very important. It's, you know, when you look into the feedback that individual contributors or also like other people give towards their line management, they don't believe you understand what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And very simply because of not making them aware of, oh, you probably very much understand what they're doing, and you just don't mention it because you take this as granted.
Granted. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So it's there. Yeah, it's a job. Just do it, right? So why should I do it? No, but actually, it is the job, yes, but it, you know, it's the recognition of it. And that is an important part too, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And recognition doesn't mean necessarily, as you said, oh, you get this paycheck or you get this bonus or you get this financial thing. Recognition can be, you know, range from a thank you, great job, well done, a message to your supervisor where you highlight the person, what that person has done, an opportunity to, you know, go to the special conference that, you know, rarely someone goes to, yeah, or attend that training that, you know, where you need 2 days, you know, of work to do. Yeah. There's so many ways you can recognize people. It's not just the financial side. Mm. Okay, so there's of course lots of other things we could talk about in terms of retaining people. In the end, it is definitely a great part of any supervisor's job, irrespective of whether people are in your direct line of report. Yeah. So if you are managing people as a whether they are in your company or whether they are contractors, always make sure you understand the different individuals and put them on the right job. Thanks a lot for that great discussion, and check out the next episodes. There will be lots of further interesting things coming. And you may recognize we have now bi-weekly episodes. So check out also the Friday episodes that are coming out all the time. And if you love these podcast episodes, please share them with your friends, your peers, your supervisor, your team. These are all for free and everybody can benefit from it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain and her team at VVS who helped with the show in the background. And thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.